Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
My sisters and brothers, in today's scripture readings, God is really trying to grab the attention of every one of us. His message is both clear and direct. It's meant to kind of hit us right between the eyes. Each one of us is called to do and follow God's will for our lives, and we need to repent for all those times that we fail and instead have chosen or choose to do our own will, follow our own will. In the Old Testament reading, God reveals himself to Moses in the burning bush that is not consumed in the fire. God calls out to Moses, telling him that he is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the ancestors of the Israelite people. Through 400 years, the initial 70 members of the families of Jacob's offspring had thrived and multiplied, becoming the nation of Israel, living in the country of Egypt. A new Pharaoh at the time had enslaved the Israelites, forcing them to hard labor to build Egyptian cities. God continues speaking with Moses, telling Moses that he has come to rescue the Israelites and free them from the oppression of the Egyptians and lead them into a good and spacious land flowing with milk and honey. In this totally awesome promise of salvation for the Israelites from the oppression of the Egyptians, God reveals his mercy. In the New Testament reading, St. Paul reminds the early Christian community at Corinth to not give in to the idolatrous practices of the pagans who made up the majority of the population of Corinth. Corinth was a prosperous Greek city. Long before St. Paul's evangelism established the Christian community in Corinth, there was an established culture of animal sacrifice to pagan gods, competitive games that often resulted in the death of the competitors, along with abortion and abandonment of babies in the temple in the city. It was very challenging at best to practice the Christian faith while living in the cult in this culture. It was a real challenge for the early Christian community in Corinth. It was common for families and friends of early Christian converts to disown family members and friends who embraced the gospel message. We today are surrounded by the woke culture, the cancel culture, and the disregard for the dignity of human life, making it very challenging to live out our Catholic Christian faith. We may be tempted to relax in living out our faith and just go along with the culture. But St. Paul reminds the Christian community at Corinth about the experience of Moses and the Israelites that we heard in the first reading. He recounts how God saved the Israelites over and over again, saving them from the Egyptian army, providing food for their bodies and their spirits, and water from the rock that followed them in their desert wanderings. And despite all of God's love and providential support, the Israelites grumbled and turned away from God. They got too comfortable in not following God, and many of them died without repentance of their sins and without reaching the promised land that God had provided for them. The most important verse from St. Paul for each of us today may be the last verse in this scripture reading when Paul says, "Whoever thinks he is standing secure should take care not to fail." Again, whoever thinks he is standing secure should take care not to fail. Think about this Have any of us or any of our family members or friends become too comfortable or maybe too secure in living in today's culture? It can be really difficult to live as faithful and faith-filled Catholic Christians in today's society and culture, and I would suggest that if we're really living our Catholic faith, there's going to be almost a constant tension with the culture that we live in today. And even for us Americans who have the right of freedom of practice of religion assured in the Constitution, there are many challenges for us in exercising this right. It's about how do we live in the world, but not live and be of the world? Living in the world, but not being of the world. In the gospel, Jesus corrects a very important misconception, especially among the Jewish people, and perhaps maybe among some of us. In the Jewish culture, it was thought that God punished sinners with some type of misfortune in their lives, maybe blindness, leprosy, being physically or mentally disabled, or perhaps dying in some unfortunate way. In this gospel, Jesus cites the murder of Jews by Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Israel at that time, and the death of 18 people when the Tower of Siloam collapsed and fell down on them. The common culture belief is that these people who suffered death at the hands of Pilate and those on whom the tower fell are greater sinners than everyone else. But two times in this gospel, Jesus tells the crowd, by no means are they greater sinners. Jesus goes on to tell the crowd, and he says this twice to them, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. For the people who Pilate murdered and those who died when the tower fell on them, their death was out of their hands, it's out of their control. Their actions or their lack of actions did not result in their death. Were they sinners? Yes, just like every one of us. Did their sin result in their death? No. God's will for our lives is not in these outer events. For example, Pilate murdering the Galileans, the fall of the Tower of Siloam, or suffering or struggles in any person's life, then or today. God's will is in our soul, where each of us is connected to God. Our sin is the result of our own choice within our soul and by our actions to not do and follow God's will. So when Jesus tells you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did, he means it's up to every one of us to choose to turn away from sin, our sin, and turn back to God. In the second part of this gospel, the parable of the fig tree is very instructive. It informs us that God gives us a second chance to repent and to turn our lives around and do God's will. In fact, God gives every one of us as many second chances as we need to repent over and over and over again as long as we are alive in this life. The purpose of the fig tree in this parable is to bear fruit, to do the will of God and fulfill his plan for our life. Think about it that way. This particular fig tree is not bearing fruit, but the gardener appeals to the owner of the orchard to give him another chance, a second chance, to cultivate the soil around the tree in hopes that he will be able to transform it from not bearing figs to bearing figs. Think about it this way, this parable. The unproductive fig tree is our life, the life of each one of us, restricted by the sin in our life. And every one of us has sin in our life in one way or another. The gardener is you and me. The owner of the orchard is God. Only you and I have the means to repent from the sin in our lives, to strive to do God's will, and to transform our lives from not bearing the fruit that benefits us, our family and our friends, our church, and the society in which we live. We're the ones who can fertilize that barren fig tree that we might be in hopes of transformation. And when we think about the challenges of doing God's will while living in the world of our present culture, but not giving into this world and the culture, chapter 12 and verse 2 of St. Paul's letter to the Romans is a great encouragement for us. We didn't hear this, but this is one of my go-to scripture passages when I'm struggling with something. And Paul writes, "Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect." Simply put, if we choose on the reverse side of Paul's exhortation, if we choose to do what is bad, unpleasing, and imperfect according to God's will, we're not choosing God's will, but rather we're making maybe a very selfish choice that leads us away from the holiness in the eternal life with God in heaven for which each one of us was created by God. We're 2.5 weeks past Ash Wednesday, and Easter Sunday is only 4 weeks away. It seems hard to believe. When you received ashes on Ash Wednesday, you likely heard one of these phrases from whoever imparted the ashes on your forehead. Repent and believe in the gospel, or remember that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Both of these statements we should take as an encouragement to take action that transforms our lives, to repent of the sin in our lives, and not keep on doing the same old all the time. Lent is one of the second chance opportunities that God gives us to repent, believe in the gospel, grow closer to the Lord, transforming our lives along the way when we choose to do God's will. I want to offer three very specific encouragements for each person in this church or whoever's watching on or listening on TV and radio. First, take time today or this week to assess, how are you doing so far in this first 2.5 weeks of Lent? How am I doing? Ask yourself, how am I doing at cultivating the soil in my life that transforms my life from not producing to producing the fruit that God has called me to bear in choosing to do God's will? And that can be both a combination of repentance plus taking other actions to grow in holiness and grow closer to the Lord. Second, make a commitment to go to confession sometime during Lent. The graces of the sacrament of reconciliation provide the spiritual support to make the right choices that enable us to transform our lives. Our parish has many confession times available. Third, when you pray the Our Father prayer, which hopefully every one of us is doing at least once every day, think about, there's two phrases in this prayer, particularly to focus on now during Lent. Thy will be done, it's what Jesus has been talking about, doing the will of the Father and asking God to forgive us our sins. That's an act of repentance. Make those true and specific when you pray the Lord's Prayer together. And these words in the Our Father can be a daily reminder of Jesus' call in this gospel to repent and do God's will.